Hopefully, there will be no casualties this week. When there were trials, there were casualties. When there were temptations, there were casualties. Hopefully, there will be no casualties this week. I'm going to read James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, but I'm reading it from the Message. Because the Message has a really particular way of expressing the ideas and the thoughts and James's intentions. So I'm reading from the Message, but I've put it up here so that you can see it as we go through. It says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this?" And this is the walk of faith. "Do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it?" Significant questions. "For instance, if you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved, and you say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup, where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" James is going somewhere. Next one. "I can already hear some of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good. You take care of the faith department and I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works. Works and faith. Fit together. Hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that." Gosh, James. "Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works?" Quotation from the Old Testament. "When he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar. Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners? That faith expresses itself in works? That the works are works of faith?" The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, "Abraham believed God and was set right with God," includes his action. It's the mesh of believing and acting that God Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God not by a barren faith, but by a faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. Wow. Oh, Lord bless the reading of his word. We're going to need a blessing after that. I've called this message False Faith, Fit Faith. And I've done that because I know a lot of you wear dentures and I want you to try to say it a few times without your dentures falling out. False Faith, Fit Faith. This is hard to, come on. False Faith, Fit Faith. Yeah, you see the problem?
Real problem for Romanian speakers.
Yeah, real problem. False faith, fit faith. False faith, because false faith has no fruit. And it's very clear from that reading that it's false faith is faith that is just on the inside in some way and has no expression. That's false faith. Fit faith, on the other hand, is faith that starts getting up and doing things. So it's fit in the sense of going jogging, or going for a run, or walking, or doing something. So it's false faith, fit faith. Next one, Tom. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, faith is an important Christian doctrine. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In that chapter, not just that verse, but in that whole chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, you find a great long list of men and women who acted on God's words. No matter what price they had to pay, no matter what it cost them, faith is not some sort of feeling they worked up. It was something that they held. It was a confidence in the word of God and a confidence in the thing that God had told them to do. We're going to get two examples later, Abraham and Rahab. God told them to do something and they confidently did it. They did it in a way that was combined with an unshakable conviction that if God had said to do something, they could do it and they should do it and they did do it. And there's lots and lots of names in that chapter. Moses is there, and Daniel is there, and the three Hebrew children are there. All sorts of people are there. But in this chapter, James chapter 2, James discusses not only the idea of faith, but the way that you see that somebody has faith. It's that combination of faith and the product of faith, the faith and the works, the believing and the doing. It's an important discussion. It's also the main reason why Martin Luther didn't like James. this chapter 2, this part, is the bit where he didn't like it, because Martin Luther was all about sola scriptura, only the word, only faith in the word. And he distinguished that very much from works, from the actions, from the things that we do. And Martin Luther wasn't against good works, but he was against having it in the Bible in the way that James said it, because he thought people would latch on to the good works and forget the faith. When in fact, if you read James 2 properly, what he's saying is you need both. Both of them together, they go hand in glove, it says in the Message version. Well, what kind of faith really saves a person? Is it necessary to do good works in order to be saved? How can a person tell whether they have true faith or not true faith? Well, James answered all of those questions by explaining that there are actually three kinds of faith in the world. Tom, give us one. The first one is dead faith. That's the first possible type of faith. Now, dead faith is what we read in the first bit of James chapter 2, and it's a kind of faith that substitutes words for deeds. This is the one where if you see your friend and he's got no clothes, no warm clothes on a winter day and he's starving hungry, you say, God bless you, the Lord clothe you, the Lord feed you, and you carry on walking with your coat on your back and your food in your stomach or in your plastic bag from Sainsbury's. And you walk straight past. There is a clear case of need and we did nothing. You can't say you have faith, James says, if you're willing to walk straight past that person in need without doing what you can do to help them. Now, you may not have two coats. You may not have the money to buy another coat. It may not be within your power to provide that person with a coat. But unless you're willing to do what you can do, do what you can do. James says, you've not got true faith. When you see need and you do nothing, that's not true faith. Oh, yeah, hard stuff, isn't it? Yeah, Anna's getting convicted down there. Yes! That's what we're here for. Jesus warns that not everyone who says they have faith really has faith. Yeah, he did that quite often. Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8 went round saying that he had a kind of faith, but it wasn't the right kind of faith. And there's lots of people that said they had faith, but they didn't have the right kind of faith. And the way you know you have the right kind of faith is when your faith spurs you to action. People with dead faith tend to substitute words for deeds. So in that example, I've seen someone, who can I pick on today? Paola. Paola's the one today. Paola is freezing cold. It's the middle of winter and she's freezing and she's starving. She hasn't eaten for a week. It is normal with Paola, if you know about. And I come to her and I say, hey, Paola, how are you?
Starving.
Oh dear, sorry, I can't help. I've got to go home and cook my dinner. That's
not nice.
That's not nice at all. Not good. That is substituting words for deeds. I hope you get something to eat very soon.
Oh, no.
But I've got to go home and cook my dinner. Can't stop and talk. I'm going to church. We're having dinner at church. And I'm bringing the biscuits. And you can stay there and freeze and starve, and I don't mind. That, right there, is dead faith. It's faith that doesn't respond to need with deeds. Some people know the right words, don't they? They know the right words for praying or for giving their testimony or quoting the right verses from the Bible. But the question is, do our actions measure up to our talk? Some people think their words are as good as works. Well, they may be in your head, but in Paola's world, where she's freezing and starving, they're not as good, not at all. If you want to know what to feed Paola, the answer is chocolate. James gives that illustration.